I have a bit of a rough throat today, so this may be shorter. I may not be getting too into it, or I may just start coughing, so there might be some very weird edits. I'm just giving you a warning ahead of time. Some people have actually found that when I have a rougher voice, or I'm in a tough spot, or I'm sick and I do the podcast, they actually like my voice better, which makes me sad and happy at the same time, because I'm happy you like my voice when it's rough and I guess more manly and like I've been chewing glass and smoking cigarettes my whole life. But also, I'd rather be healthy. I think this is a pretty normal state of affairs for most people. I should have started smoking earlier and then quit, and then I would have that great raspy voice that people like. I've had a couple people now tell me that they listen to this before they go to sleep and they fall asleep to my voice. And that's also a mixed blessing because it's like, A, you find the voice you're hearing right now relaxing. It's gentle enough that it eases you into a place of slumber, which I actually was thinking that's a really nice thing to do for other people, but also it means you're not listening to half the episode. So all the effort I put into the latter half. Honestly, the problem I have though is if you listen to this when you're going to sleep and you fall asleep, let's say at the midpoint, I usually put the dirtier, more violent stories at the end of the episode. So if you're doing that, it means your subconscious mind is now getting all that dirty, awful information put into your brain while you're sleeping directly. I'm just hoping that doesn't make you a worse person. Usually, I'm hopefully balancing it out with my very sensible opinion. Who knows? That's it. All we have to do is this is an experiment. If you wake up one day and you just feel more violent urges or you feel like a worse person, listen to the whole podcast before you go to sleep so you can get the logic part of your brain kicked in so you know you're not, just sending yourself subliminal messages. I did actually discuss with a friend the other day. I should just do a podcast where I talk about nothing, which is pretty much all the podcasts I do anyways, but like literally nothing, like nothing you would need to actually bother to take in or listen to or process, because then you could listen to that while you go to sleep. And I know there are like sleep podcasts out there that people like, you turn it on and you listen to this sort of gentle voice as it talks to you. The story I had in mind from my first episode of my sleeping podcast, we're going to get to the news soon, was the story of how I bought three of the same jacket. So you see, I had this jacket that I really liked. It was an Under Armour jacket. It's actually hanging on the back of my chair right now. And it was very comfortable. It's sort of that light jacket level. It's too, you want to have something with you when it gets nippy in the evening. So this would be like sweater weather, but I got to go to work and stuff. So I want something that I can put in my bag. There's this sports jacket. It's not heavy and warm, but it'll cut the wind and it'll keep you just warm enough. But it's light enough and small enough that you can fold it up and put it in your bag and you carry it with you during the day when it is warm. So I thought this is one of the most perfect jackets I've ever had. Men love a good jacket. I don't want to speak for anyone else. So I was really in love with this jacket, and especially because it was just fulfilling so many needs I didn't know I had. And then I thought, oh, I couldn't find it one day, and I thought I lost it. So I gave it a couple of weeks. I looked around the house. I did some cleaning and stuff, and I was like, I've lost that jacket. Very unusual for me to lose things. So, but you know, it was worth it. I'll go on online. And I'll buy another one of the exact same jacket. Almost. It's the same jacket without a hood. So I bought this other jacket and I got it. I'm very happy with that. I'm wearing it for a couple of weeks. And then my son goes, oh yeah, I moved this into my room or somewhere by accident. Here's your jacket back. Now I have two of the same jacket. Then, have you fallen asleep yet? This would be around the time when I expect you to fall asleep in my sleep podcast. I haven't come up with a name yet. It's going to be like Peter Murmurs or something. Or Chunk McBeef Chest Murmurs. C. McBee Murmurs. I'm hitting the titles now. So then I'm online and I'm looking at jackets because men, as we've established, they love their jackets. I can't stop looking at jackets and watches. I have, I think, got a final cap on the watch problem. I'm not really looking at watches like I was before. I think I found the one for me, the last watch purchase I made. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the jackets. So I was online, I saw this jacket, I'm like, ooh, Everlast. That's a brand I've always enjoyed. It's actually rare to find a good labeled Everlast product because most of them, the Everlast is too big. I don't like the gigantic logos. I wear that ironically while wearing a t-shirt with a giant logo on it. But I like my branding to be a little more subtle if there's branding at all. Everlast is one of those sort of classic brands that I enjoy, but most of them are too loud. And so when I find a subtle one, I got it. I have a hat that has an Everlast on it. And this is a jacket with an Everlast. I bought that jacket and I was very happy with that jacket. It was on sale. That jacket arrived. I realized it was literally the exact same jacket as the previous two jackets, only it had Everlast instead of Under Armour on the chest piece. That's it. So that is the story of how I ended up with three of the same jacket, and I hope you are sleeping peacefully right now. Let's get back to the news. Should I do the intro again? I feel like I've just done a sample podcast. The irony is Ninja News Japan came out as a segment from the old Veloci podcast. So I did it as a segment every couple of weeks, and then it just grew and grew and grew, and I'm like, it should be its own podcast. That's where Ninja News Japan came from. This new sleep podcast may start as a joke or just a segment, but then it could grow into its own podcast, if that's what people want. I mean, I'm a whore. I'll just do whatever people want. Whores do it for money. So in a way, I'm worse because I do it and I don't make any money. Anyways, let's get to our first story. It's kind of an update. It's not. So Riri-chan, sugar baby Riri-chan, I have been kind of obsessed with her story because it's the pinnacle of scam stories. And then this great fall from grace where she had millions of dollars available to her, was spending it recklessly, and then got arrested. So her story is just this like rise and fall. She has a scheme and it's working, and then she goes too far. She flies too close to the sun and she falls. She's been arrested. She's got 9 years in prison. So why am I talking about her again? There's really not going to be anything to say about her until she gets out of prison. If Ninja News Japan is still going in 9 years, I absolutely will cover her release and what she does after that. But there's been an interesting development in that they have decided to take the Riri-chan story and make a movie out of it. Now, I only saw the article in Japanese and I read it I did a very shallow read of it, so I don't actually know the details yet. There was a slight implication that they're going to make her a more sympathetic character than I would make her. So I think what they're going to do is say, like, here's this person, and she's in this situation, and the only thing she could do to get out of this situation was to scam men. Whereas I would make her the evil genius. She came up with this plan. She capitalized on it. She thought, I'm going to capitalize this even further by writing a book and posting that book on the internet so that other women can scam men, and they can make millions of dollars the same way I have. And so I would present her in a more evil light because she knew what she was doing. Her scheme was solid and she was going forward. And then she was trying to expand it to hurt more people almost in a network. So I'm wondering, I don't think this is going to be a good movie, but I'm really interested in how they're going to be presenting the main character, Sugar Baby Riri-chan, because are they going to make her sympathetic, or are they going to say, like, she's a scammer and she used her youth and attractiveness to scam these older, lonely men? I'm really torn. Because if they do try to paint her as a sympathetic light and she ends up in prison and that's a sad thing, I think maybe they've missed the problem or the point. I think maybe they've missed the point of the problem that she presents as an actor within society. You can tell that was not scripted. I do want to look into it more though. J.R. West has created a knife-proof umbrella. Now, they say umbrella. It's not actually an umbrella. It's not like I would be walking around with this umbrella outside and protecting myself from the rain and or knives. It's a defensive shield that they want to keep on trains because last summer there was a knife attack on board a train and three people were injured. One staff member and two passengers were injured by a knife attack. And so they're like, we have to do something to try to give the train staff something to defend themselves with when it comes to someone who gets on the train with a knife, because it's a very difficult thing to stop. This shows actually the level of care they're putting in Japan that would not be elsewhere. Three people were injured, and then J.R. West decided we're going to take some action to make sure that we can't stop this from happening, but maybe we can give people a position where they can defend themselves and not get hurt in the future. They developed an umbrella-shaped defensive shield. It's this, basically this big open thing. It becomes this... it's an umbrella and it's knife-proof material. So I don't know. Knife-proof doesn't mean it's going to, I guess it's nothing's impervious. If you keep hitting it, I assume it's going to break the shield sooner or later. But it's going to give, the idea is to give people behind you a chance to escape. The shaft that would normally be the umbrella shaft is longer than a normal umbrella. So again, this is not an umbrella. It's just when I say umbrella, you immediately know what shape it takes. And therefore, because it can be collapsed like an umbrella, it's much easier to store. Protective shields used up to now were close range and heavy. We've devised a shield that's easy for female employees to use. Because the problem is, yes, let's say you do have a large ballistic shield available, but it's this big heavy thing and it's only right in front of you. That maybe isn't the best use for all people who work for you. I don't think it's necessarily just females. Weaker males might have the same problem. I've never used a shield before, so even though I'm, let's say, a big healthy male, I might not use it correctly. The umbrella, the idea is to make it safe and keep some distance between you and the assailant. I think that's actually a pretty good idea. They are going to put 1,200 umbrellas on 600 trains. That's going to be two on every train. I assume at one at either end, where the staff tend to spend most of their time, so it's easily accessible to them, so they could get to the car and try to defend against a knife attack. A 22-year-old unemployed man met a woman via social media. I don't engage in social media, so I actually find it always when they say, like, met someone over social media, like, how do you form a relationship over Instagram or Twitter or something? I have not ever been able to do that. I've had short conversations, but they always die out. And again, it's because of me. I'm bad at social media. So this is where I feel like I have fallen behind the times of how sort of relationships are formed now. But anyways, this couple, they start dating, and then he moves in to the house or the apartment where this woman he's met is staying with another woman. So there's now two women and one man in the house. He then made up a character and sent the two women 2,000 emails threatening them. He made them believe that they were being targeted by hostile forces. So there's a lot of questions I have there. Like, why would I, as just a regular person, be targeted by hostile forces? Where did these hostile forces come from? Why would they be targeting me if I'm just a normal person? Because they don't say anything about this sort of pair of women that would make them honestly particularly unique. That's not an insult. They're just normal people. But normal people don't get targeted by hostile forces. So that would be, if I was in the same situation, so I'm one of these ladies, and then some guy moves into my house and they start saying, like, I start getting all these emails and he goes, you're being targeted by hostile forces. I'd be like, well, that doesn't make sense. What do I have that hostile forces would even want in the first place? He made demands as the hostile forces, and then he said he would protect them. And then they bought him a car. I read two versions of this story, one where they bought him a sports car and another one where they bought him two cars. So these two women being targeted by hostile forces to protect themselves, bought this guy two cars. They also started transferring money to his account. So he got them to a point where he'd convinced them that they could not leave the apartment, that it would be too dangerous for them to leave where they were living. They had to give him all the money. He would take care of everything. He needed the two cars to be able to travel around. I don't know why he needed two if it's only one guy. But he convinced them to stay in the apartment because it was dangerous to go outside. One woman, a gamer, was playing games, talking to one of her friends online, said, like, you know, I'm being held here essentially against my will. I'm not able to call the police. I don't know why she wasn't able to call the police. I'm not able to call the police. So could you call the police for me? Her friend calls the police, and the police come and they're like, hey, none of this is true. You're under arrest. He's arrested and he says that he had brainwashed them so that he could live his life as freely as possible. So he was unemployed, met a girl, brainwashed her and sort of her friend into giving up their lives so that he could live his life freely. There is the question that went around as soon as I saw this, like, comments and stuff. And I had the question immediately right away. How are these two girls making money from home? I assume they work from home. I assume they're programmers or something and they're working from home. But for them to not be able to leave the apartment and still make money is actually still a very unusual thing in Japan. Work from home jobs are rare in Japan. They would have had work from home all the time to be able to make money, to continually give this guy money. Just thank God that one of them was a gamer and had internet gaming friends. It's almost like, to me, I was like, the gaming mentality maybe primed them to believe that the hostile forces were a real thing. But the fact that she had friends online meant that she had someone she could speak to, and those friends online put her in a position where she could ask for help, which that is why video games are good. A 27-year-old woman called an ambulance. The thing is, she called the ambulance more than 200 times over the last year. Last week, she called the ambulance, but the police showed up. So what has happened is she would say, I'm sick, and call the ambulance. From April 2023 to now, she's called 251 times. When the police showed up and said, like, you're calling the ambulance too much, she said, I don't remember. I just called because I wasn't feeling well, which is a perfectly reasonable thing to do. When you don't feel well, you call an ambulance, right? There's some other details that came out. Sometimes she would collapse in the street so that other people would call the ambulance on her behalf. But then when the ambulance showed up, she would refuse to be taken to the hospital because, hey, I'm just taking a break. I read a third version of this story where she took up to 3 hours of the paramedics' time. so that she was, I don't know, talking to them, say, having them check her out. She was wasting massive amounts of paramedics' time when she wasn't actually sick or actually feeling ill. There is one story. So I read three or four of the same story. One version says she tried to pressure the paramedic into dating her. So I don't know if that's true or if that was like interpreted some way, because it didn't show up in all the other stories. So I don't like to claim something's true unless I have like two or three sources saying the same thing. But this does seem like if you're willing to collapse in the street to get ambulances to come to you, if you call the ambulance 200 times just because you're not feeling good, it seems like you're starved for the attention that the paramedics will give you. Pressuring one of the paramedics to date you doesn't seem like out of hand compared to everything else that's going on in this story. She's been arrested on obstruction of business for taking up too much of the ambulance crew's time. This is a classic. There's a Japanese movie. I forget what it's called now. It's really famous. It's like a Kurosawa film. And they show they do the same story like three times from the different perspectives of the different people, like the person who is accused of the murder and then the person who is judging the murder and stuff. It's a very interesting way to tell a story. This is sort of a similar thing, only it went to court. An Australian man says he smells gas as walking past a building. So he climbs up onto the balcony to the window in an attempt to alert the resident. He shouts, "Go to the door! And can you walk?" An older man comes to the balcony window, opens the door, and then a struggle ensues. The man, the Australian man, picks up a shovel, like basically a little spade, that was on the balcony and hits the old man with it, jumps off the balcony and runs away. So in that version of the story, he's a hero trying to hero and being thwarted by the communication issue or a misunderstanding because he's speaking English. The other version is a guy climbed onto a balcony and then tried to rob an older man by saying, "Goto da." So here's your Japanese lesson for today. "Goto da," translated into English, means "this is a robbery." And then his second phrase was, "Kin wa doko da." So kin is money. So kin wa doko da is where's the money. So he's saying, the Australian man's defense is saying that "goto da" is actually him saying "go to the door." "Kin wa doko da" is "can you walk?" So I have a coworker who's Australian. I didn't get a chance to do it. I actually should do it. I wanted him to record those two phrases in the strongest Australian accent possible and then get a Japanese friend to record the Japanese version and see how similar they sound. Because "goto da" and "go to the door," that's actually not too bad. "Kin wa doko da" and "can you walk?" I know the Australian "can" and "kin" actually would be pretty close, but the rest of the phrase doesn't quite work out. So that's where it got a little thinner for me. Your first choice was good. Your second choice, I wasn't a big fan of. The judge sort of fell into my view of thinking that this might not be the truth. It wasn't credible, but it was unclear as to what was actually happening. So he said, "I can't prosecute you. I can't punish you based on the crime of attempted robbery, but I can punish you for trespassing and assault." So he's saying like, look, maybe you were speaking English, maybe you were speaking Japanese, so maybe you were trying to rob the man, maybe you weren't. I can't take a definitive line from that. But definitively, I can say you did climb onto the man's balcony. That's trespassing. I can definitively say that you picked up a spade and you hit the old man with it. That is assault. So you are getting punished for both those two crimes and not the crime of robbery or attempted robbery. And you are getting 2 years in prison. A lot of people said this was way too lenient, but there are lots and lots of crimes in Japan where, we've done it on Ninjas in Japan a dozen times, lots and lots of crimes in Japan where you get punished, but it's a deferred sentence. So if you don't actually commit another crime within the 2-3 year period, you actually get off scot-free. So him not getting a deferred sentence is already, especially as like a first-time criminal in Japan, is already harsher than usual. Him getting straight prison time, yeah, he's being punished for it. Female campaign staff supporting lower house candidate. There's an election just happened. There's other elections for lower and upper houses going on all the time. You see a lot of campaigning in Japan. How is this newsworthy? This guy has women campaigning for him. Because there are women campaigning for politicians all the time. There's female politicians. I mean, that's not even an unusual thing anymore. Well, in this case, one wore a miniskirt. Now, I can say one wore a miniskirt and you'd be like, well, that's not anything. I mean, women are allowed to wear what they want. I agree. This was butt cheeks hanging out, flapping in the wind miniskirt. Like, she could not lean forward without her entire buttock area being exposed. So I saw a picture of her just standing up normally and you could see the bottom of her butt cheeks. So this was demonstrative, I think is what they're talking about. In another set of pictures, the female candidate, the female campaigner is wearing short shorts with fishnet stockings. And I think maybe the complaints were coming across as this is sending a very distinct message, or this is trying to appeal to a certain segment of the population, especially in Japan, where this stuff is almost honestly still perfectly acceptable to a lot of the older males, which would be the people you're trying to appeal to. Some people complained online that the candidate may have encouraged this attire. So saying like, you're not campaigning on policy, you're campaigning on the fact that I get the chance to see a girl in a miniskirt and actually check out like half her butt all the time. The candidate said it was not my directive. We agreed on lime green jackets. They did wear like sort of neon bright lime green jackets, very attention catching. That was the whole point. Without regulations below the waist. So he's saying like, I didn't tell them what to or not to wear below the waist. We only talked about jackets because that was going to make sure that you are connected to me, which actually ends up being the problem because this woman who now he's saying has made her own very provocative choices is directly connected to him. He says, I regret my lack of oversight. So I should have told them to put on pants or shorts or underwear or something that was more covering. The staff said, when spoken to, she said, it's hot. This is how I dress. And the candidate said, it's fine. So what's the problem? And I was like, there is clearly a salacious element here that is being exploited that I personally would never exploit. I'm not going to put a picture up in the corner of a girl with her butt hanging out of her miniskirt so that hopefully that will be the thumbnail of the YouTube channel so that guys come by and see the YouTube thumbnail with a girl's butt on it thinking, hey, if I watch this one episode of this podcast, maybe I get to see a girl's butt hanging out of her miniskirt. That would be dishonest and disingenuous. And of course, I would never do it.